Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Crunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
This is probably not a great time to say that I added to my collection. I don't know if you can read that. Erling Haaland.
Yes. Funko Pop, yeah.
But they didn't have a great They didn't have a great match yesterday. Well, they didn't have a great match yesterday.
There's that too.
Hey, big up to you on copping the pep. I'm a little behind. Yeah. I'm waiting on mine. I'm a little bit on a list if I'm keeping it honest. So that's some exclusive there, T, if you want to brag about how you copped that.
No, I was, because I tried to get it through the Funko Pop site or Funko site, but for whatever reason, it still showed it as unavailable or something. I don't remember where I got it from. I have to look. I'll send it to you. I just came across it one day and I was like, oh, they got it in stock.
I always need clips to push the episode, like new episode out. And before it actually comes out, I'm while I'm editing, and that was it.
He said, "Bingo!"
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, "Oh, thank you, A little teaser. That's gonna be great. Let's get it."
Body language is everything in life. You cannot be happy doing your job, or you cannot improve. If you're not positive in your mind and you'll accept that you can make mistakes and how you react on that and how your mate can do mistakes, how you help and this kind of things that is beyond, far away from the tactics or beyond for people, that is everything. It's everything in life, you know? You cannot, if you don't train with a bigger smile in terms, okay, I want to do it better, I want to help, I want that, you cannot improve. And
when meeting somebody, your body language tells everyone what to think of you, how to talk to you. Being aware and in control of your body language is a skill that most have to learn. Your body language has the power to inspire, calm, motivate, to enthrall. Your body language has the power to weaken, damage, sadden, to destroy. Manchester City are the treble winners. Winners of 5 trophies in 1 calendar year. Premier League champions of the 5 of the last 6 seasons. Centurions! We as supporters get to watch Man City, who are in a 15-match unbeaten run in all competitions. Fix that body language. There's Brentford and Bournemouth ahead. We move.
The move is when you're the wonderful. I hear
you. Make an art over here. Capitalize on
that. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win 4 of the last 5 Premier League, guys. 4 of the last 5 Premier League. Are we gonna do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, six-tuples, and seven-tuples. So,
don't do it. Hey, hey, and welcome to episode 89 of Shades of Blue.
Niggas debating my numero, not the three, not the two, I'm the UNO.
You know the vibes. We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men's and women's game, spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We making art over here, capitalize the A. Lando, Tarek, Tom Bomb, how's it going, show bros?
Going all good, man. All good.
Yeah, personally,
we here, baby. We here.
Personally, going pretty good. Just tired. Just very, very tired.
I feel that. I really do feel that. I'm really spiritually and physically. Yeah, I feel that. Before we get into anything at all, what I need you to do right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up for us. Show some love. Leave a comment on what you thought on the episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, any of the podcast streaming services that allows you to rate, please give us that 5-star rating immediately, please and thank you. Another week of amazing shows for you, Shady K. Monday night at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Breaking Bread, our match preview series. Charlie Core, a Brentford supporter. He runs NYC Brentford Bees, Brentford Bees official supporters club. Charlie will help us cover all you need to know. Recent form for the team, players, management. Is Tony leaving? All to teams. Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, we are welcoming NWSL statistician Sam Bicarino on. You may have seen his post on Twitter. Looking forward to finding out how he got into the stat game. Told him to bring you stats from Manchester City. Men and women can be good or bad stats. Just like show me the game how you see it. Then we got Lit Stream on FanFest Live this Thursday. The most dangerous show about football. Our most stoked guests this week are Kate, Damali, B. Flynn, and Melina Donovich. No topics off limits. No thoughts held back. And starting at 10:30 Central Time, 11:30 Eastern on Saturday, our Manchester City versus Bournemouth kickoff show live on FanFest Live. And also, I don't know if you know, we're doing a U.S. tour, 3 dates, April 20th. We're hosting our own private event. Look, cute little space we hold now. Three-course breakfast from my local favorite chef around here. Then we
support local.
You know what I do. Creatives. We can hang out, talk food, come over. He can show me the random jams that he's made that we're going to be potentially serving you guys. You know, it's a good thing. But I'm just giving him a reason to cook, like instead of him cooking indiscriminately at home, he's making random shit for me, and he just hits me up and he's like, hey, come over, try these things. It's a wonderful thing. That's a dub scenario. It's kind of brilliant on my behalf. I need to try to do this more often. It's just like, can you have a chef on retainer? Like, is that a thing that I can do where it's just like, hey, you just make random things and hit me up to come and try them, man. That's like a goal for me, because obviously I can only do it for this short time. But that's now a goal that I've put in my life, to just have a chef on retainer who can just make me delicious.
Do you think Bayern Munich have asked themselves if they can get a coach on retainer?
Yes, and then also watch along for our match against Tottenham. And since we handled them already at home, the curse is broken. It's all vibes that day. So just come and hang out with us. We'll also be streaming it live on FanFest Live. Hey. Hopefully have some little tricks and goodies that will be given away. And I have some fun things planned overall for that day for us in general. So even if you can't make it, I think it's going to be very entertaining social media wise for you guys.
Krunk, long list of great, great shows and events that you kind of broke down for us. One thing I want to note is that Breaking Bread with Charlie is going to be amazing. A huge supporter for the Brentford Bees. You guys got to tune in and get into that, especially before this big game on Tuesday. We all know how pivotal that's going to be, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. Krunk, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You just gave me all that great info. Where can I find all this good stuff? Do we have a social media account or something that maybe can kind of be a guide to me as to where I can find out more about this stuff?
Thank you for asking. Because we also have a couple of other shows at the Press Penny in Kansas City and also at Camp City Blues on May 19th for the game against West Ham. You can find all that information, actually. There will be two spots. There is a Linktree link in our show description. And actually, below that, there should be a link specifically to the Give Butter, and that will take you directly to our tour of dates. The shows in Kansas City and Washington, it's not necessarily a charge thing, but you can purchase a shirt early and or... you can just basically just register. Let us know you're going to be there. That's always a good thing. Also, just show up. It's not like that too serious of a thing. We want the place packed, baby.
Come vibe. Come vibe.
It's going to be a vibe. I got some tricks. I've been talking to FanFest Live. We got some fun things that we're actually going to be doing for you guys. Like I said, I'll link tree in the episode description. Also, below, there should be a Give Butter link as well. In today's episode, we're going to start with our Baby Who Baddies. You know the vibes, the consistent winners, the bread winners of this club, shall I say. Our Manchester City Women's segment, hosted by Tom Baum, discussing the Baby Blue Baddies' victory at King's Meadow.
Hey.
Then City Men will follow with the highs of a domineering victory over FC Copenhagen to the awkwardly low of another draw to Chelsea. Ugh, can't pity party long on that, you know, because we got the Bees and the Cherries over the horizon. Previewing this week's Premier League's fixtures, City welcoming Brentford for the midweek clash, and Brentford for the midweek clash, and travels to Bournemouth. Wow, I'm struggling for that. Let's try that one more time. Woo! City welcomes Brentford for the midweek clash and travels to Bournemouth for a weekend rendezvous, ending our episode on Shock, Awe, and Premier League applause.
B-I-T-Y.
Yo, come on. What are those Baby Blue Baddies doing to them?
They're making history. Yeah. You know, this is the first time that City women have gone into King's Meadow and actually gotten 3 points. The last time in the league, the last time that City women beat Chelsea at home, King's Meadow was not their home. They were playing.
Say it to them one more time. What was this? What was this game again?
This is the first time that City women in the league have won at King's Meadow. The last time that Chelsea lost to City women in a home league match, they were not playing at King's Meadow. King's Meadow was not their home.
Damn.
Sometimes it's nice to be just seen as right, and I know that we'll talk about get into some of Gareth's comments here in a minute about the match, but just to see the defensive solidity of this match was just absolutely unreal, So let's get into this lineup. Had Kiara Keating in goal, left to right, across the back line, Leila Wahabi, Alex Greenwood, Laya Alexandri, Kirsten Kasperi, midfield, Yui Hasegawa, Laura Coombs gets a start over Philippa Engeldahl. Jess Park gets another consecutive start.
Hey, let's go.
Then front three, Lauren Kemp, Chloe Kelly, Bunny Shaw. This match, for the first 16 minutes, was...
Hold on. So, before Tom gets into this, I do have two clips where I will give Garrett some credit. Please note to the jury...
I really wish Tyler was
here
right now.
He said he's going to be here soon, so maybe he'll miss it and it won't count then. But please know to the jury that I am submitting evidence to speak positively of Garrett. Because, you know, Sharpie, he did warn us that he potentially was going to come on here and be spitting gas propaganda. And in case he goes too far, it's like, I have to start killing mans. So just know I want to give him some credit now. So leading to the match, media presser, they were kind of pushing the whole one versus two narrative, which is what they should do. Gareth was shutting all of that stuff down. First, he was asked if this was a chance for revenge.
I don't think our issue was with Chelsea that day. It was not with them. And so, no, I don't think that comes into the factor. Of course, when you play against a team and you're preparing against a team, you think of the previous game against them, there's no doubt. But, yeah, our issue wasn't with Chelsea that day.
Our issue wasn't with Chelsea, Mayor Mente Picante Papi.
As the street poet Saucy Santana would say, was like, "Ooh, now that's how you clear a bitch." I don't know. Oh my!
Yes. And Gareth was also asked if he has hyped up the match to his players.
I don't think we need to hype the game at all. I think for us, normalizing it is the sensible thing for us, because we know that, of course, when you play against Arsenal or Chelsea or Man United, I think, you know, the kind of the nerves and everything are there anyway. You know, it's like it's a big game. It feels big, and there's no denying that. So you don't really need to stoke that up a little bit more. I think what we've seen when we are at our best is when we play in a calm manner. I think that's when you see the best of us. So getting the balance right is really important for us. And like I say, normalizing it. Of course, we know the importance of the game. There's no doubt. And this is what we wanted. We wanted to be in this position.
Act like you've been here.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this is great. This is him being honest and open and making sense, sounding confident. These are the things that I want are representary of the club of our women to sound like. And he doesn't do it often, but when he does do it, I do want to give him his credit.
I still cannot believe that shot that he took at Emily Heaslip. Just good Bro. Lord. Good like, Lord.
Yo. He's not when right. I heard that in real time, I was like, yo! Are you serious? Let's go.
He's not wrong. Like,
no, not at all.
And I think that was weird to watch the halftime highlights of the previous match during halftime of this match. It's like, I don't need to see this. I know what happened. Emily Hill, he slipped, lost your mind. But that's neither here nor there. The first 10 minutes of this match seemed relatively evenly matched. City starting off with a lot of possession, and you've noticed recently with our run of fixtures that's kind of been an emphasis, is like to kind of start fast, make sure that you get that goal, and then just kind of sit back a little bit. And that was definitely on the agenda. I will say that Jess Park continues to just impress me so much. Like, having gone on loan.
She's winning my heart.
Yes. Yes.
She's winning my heart. I just want to state for the record.
It's funny that you say that because we'll get back to that in just a moment.
She shared the streets.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the clip. Somebody posted a clip. It was like Jess Park since her teammate.
I can't believe Craig just said that.
Listen, her teammate said.
Dile español, pendejo, dile la calle. You say that sounds better, bro. That man just said she was on the street.
So,
hey, no, they said it,
her,
not me.
No, her teammates did the, like, you remember when Stephon Diggs was with the Vikings and it was like, who wouldn't you let on the team, wouldn't you let date your sister? Like, they did a, who on the team wouldn't you let date your son or daughter? And overwhelmingly, Jesse P was number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she apparently got lots of game. And it's obviously showing on the pitch.
On and off the pitch.
Yes, exactly. In the 14th minute, we had her make Aaron Cuthbert's life hell, which she did for the full 90 minutes that she was on the pitch. But in this particular instance, she basically just stole the ball from Aaron Cuthbert. Had a run in on goal. Bunny was running with her. She gets the ball out to Bunny. Bunny has a wonderful finish with the outside of her boot, upper right corner. Hannah Hampton has no chance at it. Boom. It's automatically City 1, or Chelsea 0. And you're thinking, okay, game on. Let's go. Like this, you need the one. You're going to probably going to need at least two against a side like Chelsea, right? Yeah, and then City had a few more chances, and Hannah Hampton, like to her credit, probably was Chelsea's best player. She made some pretty incredible saves in the first half, but then you kind of saw City start to sit back a little bit more, and you kind of got the impression that that was more for like we're gonna try and release Hemp and Kelly out on the wings. And Hemp was making Ashley Lawrence absolute hell. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen Ashley Lawrence play that poorly for a club.
I've never seen her look that bad. I don't watch as much as you do, but I was actually like stunned and shocked because I thought she was and I still probably think she's a really good outside back. And so to see her just getting ate up over and over and over, I was like, cooked. What is going on? Yeah, I was
cooked.
Wow. Yeah, it was very impressive just to see what City was doing. But even then, they were just kind of ceding possession, sitting back. And at about halftime, you're thinking, okay, there's probably a goal or two still in this match. Then the second part, at about the 55th to 60th minute, Emma starts to make some changes, changing the tactics a little bit. And then I believe that finally, like, she brought off
Leipoldt and brought in Kankovic.
Yeah, and then so they ended up going to three at the back, and then all of a sudden we saw Jess Park was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna like play these balls into space for Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly to run onto.
She took Ashley Lawrence out too.
Yes, she kind of had to because she was not. And also
getting
like
cooked.
Yes, and there was a 10-minute span in the second half where they had Lauren James out wide on Layla Wahabi. And I know the last time that we played Chelsea in the league, Lauren James had Layla Wahabi in absolute hell. And that was definitely where they were looking to attack. And like, I was really impressed with how Layla Wahabi recovered. Cause you know, she did get beat a couple of times. Lauren James is going to do that to you. But then I can't say enough about the youngest player on the squad and Kiara Keating. Just
she has denied. My heart.
Yeah,
she has my heart.
Yes, denied. Like every time that there is a denied. Yes. The double save in stoppage time, ridiculous. Like just get
you can tell she doesn't know where she is, but she knows where the ball is.
A hand extension. The presence of mind to have the hand extension out for the sec. For me, I wanted to run through a wall for her when you see that level of effort, that level of just, like you said, has no idea where the hell she is and what's going on. She just knows, hand out. That is the move in that moment in time. My God. My God.
It astounds me how much she's grown just within this season. We're not even talking about 2 seasons ago when she was 17 and like, oh my gosh, all of our goalkeepers are hurt and we have to start the academy kid. No, like just the way that she has grown. I know I've been pounding this drum for quite some time. She is the most informed keeper in the WSL. She is the most informed keeper that the Lionesses have right now. I understand that Mary Earps won the Golden Gloves for the World Cup. I know that she was voted fifth pro like starting 11. I don't care about all of that. Like Kiara Keating right now is the best keeper in England. I'm not going to say that she's the best keeper in the world. I do think that Inlair for Lyon is really, really good. I know that the keeper for Paris FC has been amazing as well. But she's up there. Like she's definitely up there. She's at least the most informed keeper across most of Europe's leagues right now. Even with all of the changes that were made, Chelsea still couldn't break us down, which was amazing to see. Even when we had to take Laia Alexandri off, which was a little bit scary because it was a head and neck injury. Bringing on Alana Kennedy as they were winning a lot of set pieces. I know that was something that Charlie was calling for in our Slack channel. When we saw Harlan's mama, Demi, come on the pitch, it was like, oh, we're going to five at the back. Yes. And, you know, I think one of her first actions in the match was her actually running into Kiara Keating defending a set piece. Kiara Keating kind of actually knocked her over. It was everything that you wanted to see. I do want to bring up this quote from Jesse Parker Humphrey's story in the Athletic that Gareth had that I thought was kind of telling, and it made me correct, which I am always in favor of anyone making me correct.
Pat yourself on your back, please.
Yes. Let's see. Let me pull it up. He says, "It's nice for me. It's the first time I've won here," said City manager Gareth Taylor after the match. "I've not been successful here at all. It's a big step for us. There's no doubt about it. We've gone under the radar a little bit this season. We've tried to play our game as much as possible, as much as we possibly can. We've added a bit of steeliness and determination to our defending now, so we've worked on that." And what I know in the last episode, I specifically said City is leaning into their defensive solidity with the absence of Jill Roard. And you see it. You see it on the pitch. Like, they know that they have a good goalkeeper. They know that they have good defenders ahead of them. And they know what they're doing. I mean, that being stated, like, there were a couple of times where Myra Ramirez definitely got the better of Alex Greenwood.
Definitely. And even at the end of the match, the final 10 minutes counting, 15 minutes counting the extra time, they were just hoofing the ball away instead of trying to hold possession. And it was just like, what are we doing? I know you're nervous and you just want to scramble the ball away, but doing that, that's how you let Chelsea back into the match. And it felt like Chelsea were going to score at any moment because the women just felt frenetic. And
I think that was why it was so important that Kiara Keating was the one that stayed calm. Like she, even though there was chaos ahead of her, even though she might not have known where on the pitch she was during that double save, she was there. Like calm, like, okay, this is like, nothing is passing like this goal line, like as long as I'm in front of it. And she did that. She commanded her box really well. It's amazing to me, like even for like standards of the women's game, she is a shorter keeper, but the amount of bounce that she has and the way that like, because she knows that she is a shorter keeper, like she knows that like, okay, I've got to read the flight of the ball a little bit better, make sure that I have a good angle on where the player is coming from. Especially for someone so young, like knowing that she is only going to improve, like that has to be really, really scary for not only teams in the WSL, but like teams across Europe, like international teams across Europe, knowing that eventually, like, she's going to take the Lioness's number one job. Like, you could make the argument the only reason that she doesn't have it right now is because she's 19 years old, but she still should have it.
14 matches played, 8 games, 8 goals allowed.
Yes. Like, and the only match that she let in multiple goals would have been the Arsenal match. So, like, at least in league play. So, like,
I remember a lot of pain from.
Yes. I do remember. shout out to Deep D and Treb. We appreciate you.
Yes.
But, like, that was really painful to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch my team lose in the manner that it did. But this win is a statement to the league as a whole. Chelsea is still ahead, even though points are the same, goal difference is the same. They are ahead on goals scored currently. So that is definitely something that we will need to catch up on with them, especially since they play Leicester next, and Leicester has not been playing super well.
We're 5 goals back.
Yeah,
they have 41 and we have 36.
Yes. That stated, like, this is a great way to go into the international break. You give your players like a positive note and it's like, hey, you know, go, like, if you don't play for your national team, take a break, take care of your body, get some rest. Mm-hmm. If you do play for your national team, which again, because City is the club that it is, we do have several players that, you know, play for their national teams, you know, Lia Alexandri was called up. I'm not sure based off of her injury if she'll still be able to go. I believe that Philippa Engeldahl was called in. Kirsten Kasperi was called in.
Representation.
Jess Park actually got her first senior team call up to the Lionesses. So we got her, Greenwood, Esme Morgan, all of them coming in. So that's super exciting as a whole. And this is, again, the greatest way to go into an international break. You can't ask for anything better than winning on a field that you've never won on before, at least in league play, and then just making it known that you're the better team, which is amazing.
It's the different ways to win for me. It's the different ways throughout a season to whether you're dominant on the pitch or whether you're not dominant on the pitch or it's somewhere in between to have less than total amount of shots, less than on shots on target, less than in possession, passes, pass accuracy, and still manage to get the 3 points. That for me is an absolute, from a coaching perspective, I want to run through a wall for my players, because you found a way. I don't give a shit where you had to play, where who's covering back. It's, you found a way to get a result, and I just can't. I'm absolutely fired up for these women, fired up from what I'm seeing. So excited for the rest of the half or the rest of the season.
What's up, Sharpie?
What's going on, Sharpie?
What's going on?
What up, boys? You know, how y'all doing?
Chilling. Hey, you know, I've always said, and I don't think it's any secret, that Yui is my favorite player on City Women. I just love her in the midfield. You know, I just, whatever. But Kiara's pushing her a little hard. Kiara is like my kids. She's literally like a year older than my daughter, right? So when you talk about her being, you know, a shorter keeper, which I think I kind of noticed, but I never looked it up. She's 5'6". And I think the other keepers on our roster are all 5'9", I think. So she's about 3 inches shorter. But she's amazing. And I just love I see her as like a kid still, but it's just like the joy, the innocence, you know, the smile on her face when she's playing. But then when there's moments when, you know, the nerves kick in and I just like, oh, please don't give. I just don't want her to give up a goal. Not solely because I want to win, because I definitely want to win. But it's just, would be heartbreaking to see her give up that goal. And it's like, I just love her, man. She's awesome.
And I think that's like the biggest growth just from that Arsenal match to now, like just the growth that she, like, I know that after we lost to Arsenal, I said that every goal that they scored was because of an error that she made. And she knew that. And now, like, even if a goal were to be scored, it wouldn't be because she made a mistake. Like, it was because like her defenders kind of left her out to dry. But like, it's been so long since that has happened, since she has at least three consecutive clean sheets. Like, what are we even talking about? So, again, just the best goalkeeper in the WSL, best goalkeeper in England, possibly the best goalkeeper in Europe. And
that's spicy.
Yeah.
That's so spicy to think about, bro. 5'6", 18 years old. She's killing it right now.
Yes. Yes. Just, I can't say anything more about how
she's the Doug Flutie of goalkeepers.
I mean, basically, yes.
It's incredible. I just want to pop on and say, who made the call to put her over Ellie and Sandy? Who's the person?
We was waiting.
No, don't even say it yet. Just let her
give this segment real quick before we start talking. Okay?
Charlie, give us your thoughts on the game and some feedback. I want this to happen naturally, organically. Let it play out. Don't say another thing. Let Charlie speak on it, because he hasn't heard what we've heard. So please, Charlie, speak organically to maybe, here, I'll give you a little, maybe the play, the performances, maybe what you thought from a tactical perspective from our women. Give me a little snippet of what your thoughts are on this game.
We're talking about a Chelsea match. We're talking about going into enemy territory. We're talking about doing something that literally has not been done since Obama was in office. Like, this is, it's levels to this. Like, this is unfathomable. Like, nobody would have predicted this at the start of the season. You don't go to King's Meadow and get a win, because we've never done it. So for this group of players to come together and say, hey, we are going to dominate. We are going to make Chelsea suffer. We're going to cash in on a mistake. Jess Park is going to get the ball off Cuthbert in like make a perfect pass to Bunny. Bunny's going to finish. And then from there, we're good. We lock in defensively. Gareth make my Alana sub. Like, GT is a huge part of this. Like, this is not – Demi Stokes got in. Like, this is not a thing where it's just like, oh, players made some shit up. It's like, no, you have instructions. We know how we have to win this match, and we execute it to a T. Was it beautiful? No. But was it effective? Yes. And that's what you need. 3 points is better than 3 goals, if that's what it takes. Like, that's what matters. And so for every woman on that pitch to do their job, shout out to Bill Belichick, to, like, make that shit happen, you can't ask for more. Like, I was enamored at the resolve. It was not easy. They didn't, like, go for it in the second half, right? You know, like, at some point you got to just lock in. And when that extra time came up, and it was +9, right? Or something crazy, +8.
It was +9.
I was like, oh, my God. We're locking in. Like, we're in this bitch. Like, we are here. And they could not score. They did not pass. Thou shalt not pass those doors. Kiara Keating saves. This team of the year. Lock it in right now. I don't want to see any other goalkeeper. Like, I don't care about any other. If her and Bunny, that's our beautiful Black Queens, nobody else, they are locks for a team of the season. Best striker in WSL. Best motherfucking goalkeeper in WSL. And if you say WSL, you're counting other countries who have these keepers, right? So, like, you're saying top three in the world. Let's be real. She's over Mary Earps. You know, I don't know all the other countries, but she's up there. So, like, I don't know the Spanish keeper. Shouts to them. But, like, I'm so proud. And, yeah, this is love for guys, man. My man's out here, bro. He's got us from, like, he did what he was supposed to do. He did his job. And there's nothing more than that, right? He did his job. He's got the team in a perfect state. We've sustained our injuries just like every other top side has. We got the Jill Ward injury, and it didn't stop. It didn't stop the show. We got to lock in. We work on defense. We keep clean sheets. 5 in a row now, I believe. And we go from there. And so I'm very grateful for this side of Manchester City Football Club doing their job. It's beautiful to see.
Okay. Comment and then a question. One, comment. I don't know if Jill Roard is the player that would have started that Bunny goal. Not because she can't, but because that's just not what she does. Like, she just is going to make
those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to make those late runs into the box and then, like, you know, be available for the cutback. Like, she's not necessarily like, and I know that I've said this before, like, seeing Jess Park, like, I said it when we watched the Arsenal match. Seeing Jess Park run with the ball from the midfielder, we have not had a midfielder that can do that since Caroline Weir. And just knowing that that is something that now is, like, at our, like, at Gareth's, you know, disposal, that's huge. Like, you know, she went on loan as a winger. Our Everton needed her to play striker, so she played false nine, and now she's playing the 10, like, for us, like, after she got back from her loan. So that's amazing.
Sounds like Phil to me. Sounds like Phil. Just all over the pitch, wherever you need it.
Sounds like trusting analytics, too. Yes. I mean, we talked about it a little bit before when we were noting that laptop towards the latter part of the game and his ass trying to figure out the subs and really listening to his team. I mean, I don't know. Charlie, true or false? Let me ask you a question on the spot. Do you think, if I told you before you jumped on here,
ooh, yes,
a particular person named Kronk gave some kudos to a particular GT, would you believe me if I told you that that happened?
Feels like that. What's that, like, what's that thing on MTV? They said that, like, is it real or key, is it, whatever it was, but it's like diary or something. But, a real, was it True Life or something like that? No, I would believe it because he had to. Like, anybody, from any other person. Choice. Yeah, you have no choice. You can't say, hey, we haven't scored here and we haven't won here in 8 years or 10 years, whatever it is, and been like, nah, let's call out the gaffer now. Like, no.
Okay, so now done too much.
I need to ask Charlie this question.
Okay.
So now you're Niels Nielsen. you see what you see. And because this is a one-year prove-it deal for Gareth, what if you are Niels Nielsen, what are you doing?
We're asking this question now?
Yeah, it's time. It's 8 matches left in the season. I'm in the WSL season. I'm drawing
up
the contract.
What do I have in my hand? What have I been rewarded yet?
No, I'm saying I'm drawing up the contract. I haven't, sent it to him. But I also believe, you have to finish top two. Because that was my ambition for the season. It wasn't necessarily to beat Chelsea. It was to beat Arsenal. And so if you're going to be top two, you've done the job. You're guaranteed for Champions League. And now that's what we want. That's what I would say. Have the contract ready, but make sure he finishes the job. You got 8 more games. Like what Kobe say, job not done, job not finished.
Okay.
And so this is great, but you still got to make sure you bounce back. Like after the international break, it's time to go crazy. Like run the goals up. We trying to get number one. So you got to score goals now. So push it. But stay top two. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Man said, our ladies have been doing so great. Man, Bunny, Keating, they need to be team of the year. They're in here locking it down, doing all this stuff. But also, great job, Gareth. You the man. It's just like, wait, what? It sounds like you're praising our players and our players doing our thing. And they are the ones who are stepping up. And yeah, Gareth is doing great. But he admitted again. I'm going to go back to it. He went to City Men's, special teams manager, set piece manager. And he's talking to his little stat guys with the laptops. Yes, this is using your tools and resources. But also, it's just like, how much credit do we want to get? I still feel like our women are doing great. We brought in Goder. Like there are things that City as a football club has done to help bump up Gareth and maybe fill in his weaknesses and give him. I feel like I want to give more the credit to the club and the players more than Gareth. I don't want to take away from him, but I also don't want to be like, oh, Gareth. If anything, I still want to give him just one more year because I want to see what Niels wants to do, and I still want to see what he does if we lose another set of players because we already – I don't want to get to it, but the hemp stuff, it could be Barca. It could be the fact that that's beautiful, but also it could just be that, Gareth is fucking annoying. I don't know.
That's what I'll say, bro. What's the deal? Because here's the thing. Pep is not a one-man show. We literally see Pep every camera shot. He's talking to Wama Leo. They literally met and got this man from Saudi Arabia, right, and brought him back because they lost the other coaches. And they say, hey, come back, Wama. No manager is a manager by himself. The backroom staff is a backroom staff for a reason. The club is a club for a reason. So why would we, take away anything from a manager who says, hey, let me go help my team or help my squad out by using the resources at my disposal? That's actually the most humble thing you could do is say, I don't do it all. And so
I hear that.
Now he's not the most responsible. He didn't make Jess Park make the tackle and make the pass. No, but he also made the selection to start Park. He could have started Engeldahl. Nobody would have faulted him. He made a selection to start the season. Keating's our number one from jump. Bye, Ellie Roebuck. Good day. See you. You're gone in the summer. Sandy, stay over there. Be cute. This is what it is. He made that call. So, those things, some things are the manager's call. Other things are hey, the players have to execute and go beyond. And they do that. And they've done that to the point of tie for first, 5 goals back and goal differential. I don't know what you want. What are we saying? Because when Pep does it, it's oh, my God, Pep's the best manager in the world. I'm not saying Gareth's the best manager in the world. But he's also, done an exceptional job. If you take this whole cycle and the whatever the reasons were, to get a whole squad and bring it now to this place after losing 4 world-class players or 5 or whatever he lost. Come on, man.
I'm going to make an assumption, but I'll go ahead and put it out there. There are 5 of us in this room right now talking about this lovely situation. I'm proposing it to vote right now. Today, Gareth Taylor gets an extension. Yes or no? I'm on the no. I'm with Krunk.
No, I, oh, hey.
Neil's in his stupid 100% getting a detention.
I didn't say 100%. Out. I didn't 2 years.
Say out. I'm just saying yes or no.
I give him one more year.
Yes or no today.
I give him one more year. I kind of want to see how everything plays out.
Wait, isn't the contract up this year? Like, he has to get one more?
Yeah. It's up at the end of the season. So he had a 1 year proven deal.
2 years. I think a 2 year deal is coming. 2 year deal.
Yeah, I do see it.
So Kronk wants another year. So the extension would come today for Kronk, I guess.
I just still want one more year. Because now I need to start watching other teams and seeing how they're playing and their styles.
Part of it is like, one, like, we already know that City Football Group is going to want to bring in somebody who is already part of City Football Group, like, whether that be like, you know, like they're not about to bring in the Melbourne City women's manager because they're, I believe, in third in the W League in Australia, either second or third, I believe. And I don't think that they've won a championship in a while. And then you kind of look at like who are other coaches within City Football Group that would be a good fit, like that want to come to Manchester, one, and then would be able to like yes, these are professional athletes, but like I do believe that one of the biggest things that like we specifically don't get right is like that there's a difference between coaching male professional athletes and female professional athletes, and like you need to make sure that you have that coach that's able to do that. While Gareth has shown a propensity to isolate and run some players out, that entire midfield, Lucy Bronze, Janine Becky, Rose Lavelle, the list is not necessarily short. That being stated, it's apparent that like he knows what he's doing with this group of players. Or at least he has a strategy. And it appears to now be working now better than it has been in the past. So I don't know how you can't extend him. But I don't know. I think it depends on when you extend him. Like to Charlie's point, like if we somehow finish top three instead of top two and we win both the Conti Cup and the FA Cup, yes, you still give him the extension, even though he didn't make top two, because you have hardware in your trophy case at that
point. I'm gonna be hella sad though.
Definitely. Oh, for certain. Like it won't be great. But like you also like know that you like have these trophies in your trophy case, which are like
to be a huge collapse.
Yes, it would be. But like it's
only 3 points. It would take losing one. And I don't like perfection is not possible. So like if we lose one and Arsenal wins one, then and it we could, got them on goal differential. So it would be like losing goal differential crazy. It would be crazy.
Yeah. And honestly, like we still have Arsenal to play in the league at home still. So and we still have United to play in the league, which
I'm not worried at all about United.
I hope that they sign that man to a lifetime contract. you want to talk about a coach that is just terrible. He is so bad.
Terrible.
His comments don't even make sense because he said when you're playing against a team that is playing direct football, like it's hard to press for 90 minutes. And it's like, sir, I saw you in NWSL and say, F it, Sidney LaRue's down there somewhere, and like we're gonna play direct as possible. I saw that with my own eyes. So I know that you know how to do it. So like it's wild that like he complained about the physicality in NWSL and now he's complaining about the lack of it in WSL. It's just wild. I don't know. Just sign him to a lifetime contract, United, please. Because I need those 6 points every year, please.
Yes.
And then I think Kronk brought it up recently, and I believe that this story has some credibility in that DAZN is the one that broke it.
Oh God, you're going there right now.
Yeah, I know, and I hate it. Lauren Hemp, there's like an 80% chance apparently of her signing with Barcelona at the end of the season when her contract is up. I know that Gareth said that, like, you know, Niels has made an offer has been made. I know that the jokes on Twitter have been like, now, you know, I don't know if anyone has told Lauren Hemp that there are 3 Lego stores in Manchester and there's only one.
There's just one.
But I think Flops made an excellent point in that when she said, in some instances, you can't always fault the, like, okay, so let's say, just to flip it to the men for a second, let's say we have, oh, I don't know, let's say a Rafa Leal, if we wanted to go after him from AC Milan, like, AC Milan, like, yes, they're a good team. Yes, they're, you know, battling for Champions League spots in Serie A. But if we make that call, like, you're going to listen. And, like, you have to listen. Like, based off of where Barcelona is in the women's game in the world, like, they are considered the top team in the world, that being stated. They're very high. At least they're the top team in Europe, for sure.
Yes.
So, like, you know, guaranteeing that you're going to go to Champions League and not have to go to through the playoff qualification because you know that you're going to win Liga F, that makes a lot of sense.
3 trophies every year.
Trophies every year, all of that.
Great weather. Yeah, I get it. I too had the same conversation with Flops, except for it was in DMs, because I was just like, make it make sense for me, Flops. I'm a wreck. Well, we love her here. She grabs her badge every match. She's sliding around. Like, why Barca? Like, hell.
You know what this reminds me of on the men's side? It's like when Ronaldo left Man U for Real Madrid, right? There's a bigger boss. And in this case, especially this time of the world, like, the biggest boss in the women's in WOSO is Barca. They have the World Cup champions. They have, like, you know, the best team in the Champions League. Like, so, like, everybody wants to play for them. You have Lucy Bronze of the Connect, you know, like, so it's like you see, you have Keir Walsh. Like, there's a pipeline here. It's the same thing that happens on the men's side. It's just like, this is our time. And if it happens, and we do everything we want to achieve, God bless. Like, there's no hard feelings for me, because it's not on the manager. It's not on Niels. The player makes the decision. And if you want to make a change because you've been in England your whole life, God bless you. Like, I've come around so much in general when it comes to transfers. But, like, hey, you got it, queen. Like, go be great. Like, God bless you. Hope you learn your Spanish. Hope you're taking your Duolingo classes. And, like, you know, ball out. Yeah. But, like, finish the job. Like, finish the job.
Yeah.
Get us these trophies. If we win the treble and you dip, peace.
Oh,
if we win 2 trophies, thank you so much. Like,
if we win the treble, you got to build a statue of her outside of Joy Stadium. Like, I mean, because you know that she's a big part of that. Like, so
okay, well, maybe give her a plaque. Maybe give her a plaque.
A plaque? I can't.
Like, I mean, a statue. Instead of the statue, they have like a little, I won't say plaque, but for lack of a better term, a little plaque at one of the training pitches. They name a training
put
pitch.
Put a name on a chair or something. You know,
we gave them a Gundo, a mosaic.
Yeah, so I was saying, like, they give them mosaics and stuff, and they put them on one of the training pitches.
Yeah, I like that.
Something like that. Like, but yeah, no, not too crazy. She did leave us for Barca, and before she's hitting her prime, so it's like, let's not go too crazy.
So that's what I have for the Baby Blue Baddie segment. International break. Everybody stay healthy. That's the most important part of of any international break. Everybody stay healthy.
A lot of the Baby Blue Baddies are going to hang out, like, where the men go in the same facilities when they go on breaks.
Abu Dhabi? Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's good. Where they're going. Yeah, so they're about to go and get some sun and relaxation.
Good for them. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Continue to breed that winning culture, damn it.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Manchester City traveled to play at the Parken for the match against Copenhagen. Shout out to Morten Parsner of Varte Bold for being a great guest, telling us all we needed to know about this FC Copenhagen side.
Great guest.
We'll be returning for Breaking Bread to cover the second leg. I do want to play something from the Pep's presser. He was asked about traveling to FC Copenhagen, who will be ready, the crowd will be ready, and how will Pep and company handle that?
It's trying to be, okay, let's go. Because the team's always winning when overcome the bad moments. In this competition, there are a lot. I don't expect 90 minutes will be comfortable. We're going. The moments are going to suffer. In the moments, we're going to be sad, depressed, or how you react. Because we have to understand that the opponents, every player has a mama and papa. So they deserve to play good. And they deserve to have good moments. They deserve it. So not because we are champion or because we are Man City. And how you handle that moment is what define a big, big team. And this is, we have done in the past, but we have to do it again.
Yes, it's FC Copenhagen. To some of you who want to look past that side, how quickly you forget 2019-20 campaign. Top of the group with 14 points. Lyon drops 3 on City at home, knocking the club out of the competition. 2016-17, getting knocked out in the round of 16 by Monaco. Winning 5-3 in the first leg thriller, only to lose by 2 in the second leg. That old away goal rule, good riddance. No matter the gap in finances and perceived technical ability, anything is possible in Champions League knockout football. That's the beautiful thing about it. Starting 11 was Ederson, Ake, Diaz, Stones, Walker, Silva, Rodri, Grealish, KDB, Foden, and Haaland up top. I've been on Team Gucci Puma for a few weeks now. Him getting the start brought me joy. Pep's recent Champions League knockout tactic has been just don't lose. Basically, we take the draw, worst case scenario, played at home to win. While I agree with his tactic, FC Copenhagen have been off on a long break. The club played a few friendlies in Portugal, 3 games between February 4th and the 8th. But Copenhagen's last league match was January 20th. All signs pointed to a City win to me, and the lineup was a side that could win against Copenhagen. What were your thoughts on the lineup, and how were you feeling prior to kickoff? Sharpie, we'll start with you.
The lineup came in as I'm mid-class, and it made me happy. Like, there's, at this point, I'm sorry, I'm the boring person on the panel. Like, lineups don't upset me. Like, I want to see how things are executed, but like, any player's Pep picks at any positions, I'm happy with. Because you have injuries, you have rotation. Obviously, Vardy was out, Kovacic was out, so like, that helps it out, simplify it, but I had no worries about it. Tarek, how did you feel about the lineup when it came out?
I mean, I'm with you. It's pretty much what you would expect. Again, when you look at, okay, well, what other options? You know, it's always the Grealish-Doku discussion. But other than that, it is pretty much picking itself at this point. You know, yes, we have Akanji. Yes, we have, in this case, Alvarez didn't play. So that was somewhat of a surprise. But it pretty much picks itself. And I'm with you. There, you can nitpick one or two things here and there, but for the most part, whatever 11 we put out there, in 99.9% of the games we play, that 11 is going to be good enough to win and expect to win. Even if it's got the Oscar Bobs and the Rico Lewis's in it, we would still expect ourselves to win. So I'm with you, Charlie, that there's no need to get upset about any of this stuff. It just is what it is. And we go out, and whoever he rolls out there, we expect you to go out there and try to win the game. So, yeah.
I think for me, with the lineup, I was most happy with Julian Alvarez actually getting some rest, because like I think that like he had been carrying the squad, like in the sense that like he was the only center striker available when Haaland was hurt, and then like even when Haaland came back, like even though I do think that it is interesting to watch the two of them play together, he just needed a rest. And I think that this was the perfect opportunity to just to get him that rest of minutes that he needed. So I think that that was my biggest, like, Huli gets a rest like that.
It's the beautiful problem, right? It's the beautiful problem as we get deeper into a season when we're having players return from injury. Right. We can't be as fans happy that we're getting certain players back or happy that certain injuries that we see or certain players that get, you know, the niggles or certain bother, whatever it is, happen. And we're like, oh, crap, we're going to be without them for a little bit. And then they come back or get a start or get in the rotation. These are the beautiful problems that we want and have. So the mentality is absolutely right. We have to be consistent and back our manager and continue to go.
Yeah. Kickoff, Manchester City took possession quickly. FC Copenhagen basically seemed to be waiting for the chances to counter, but really weren't pressing. It was weird. I was kind of thrown off how passive they were at home at the beginning of the match. Grealish looked great. He was earning a foul or two while he was on the pitch. 10 minutes in! Man City strike first, controlling possession. The ball is passing around, flowing. I love it. Diaz has the ball a few yards behind midfield, and then he pings the ball over to right to Foden. It's just like, okay, Diaz, new haircut, no woman. Okay, he's just free, just flowing. I like it. I love it. I love it. I'm happy for him. A few dribbles from Foden. KDB under lap in space. Kevin passes the ball inches past the keeper foot. It was just basically it was past the KDB. He shot, scored. I was like, oh, okay. This is nice. Shout out to Daphne. I did do a live watch along for this match with her. It was a great time because she is a hater herself. It was great. She was hating on the club and everything. But she always had a very good reason as to why she was hating on someone or something. And I really did enjoy that. It was just like, she wasn't just hating for the sake. She had like a game theory behind it.
And a justification hate.
Yeah.
You got to support that.
Yeah. And it was like fresh. It was original. It was like, I got to respect this thing. I got to respect this thing. So it was a good time. So shout out to her. Yeah. The goal. Thoughts on it? How were we feeling being able to get a goal 10 minutes in on the road, first match of a knockout stage? That's a big deal, right?
I mean, for me, again, I came into this match expecting us to win it. I expected us to, again, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy because we just watched Copenhagen in the group stages beat United. That's not saying a whole lot, right? So I didn't take it like, oh my God, we're gonna, you know, I expected us to go in there, handle our business, and get the win. So seeing the goal, of course, anytime we score early, it's a big relief. It's like, oh wow, great. Cause now it's already set the tone for the rest of the match. But even if we wouldn't have scored on 10 minutes, I would expect us to win relatively comfortably anyway. So getting that early goal just solidifies my mindset. Okay, let's go do what we do. Let's finish this. It was more about being professional. See the game out. Don't let any slip in concentration or anything like that. Just see the game out professionally. Hopefully no one gets hurt and we move on to the next match. Of course, we know that it didn't quite play out that way, but yeah.
Phil was very impressed with himself. I think that Phil was also very impressed with the finish from Kevin De Bruyne. This was a game on. I know that Charlie said it in the past, like, you know, we want to make sure that in Champions League ties, like, you want to make sure that you get at least the win on the road, win by a goal, obviously, and or more, and then have them come back to your place and just spank them, run the score up on them. And so you're like, okay, well, perhaps based off of what we have here and based off of the opponent in front of us, we might be able to do more running up of the score now versus at home. So if we do, let's, like, you know, keep our foot on the gas.
I didn't mean to do that. I plan on using that later. So,
Landon, what about you? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was wait, that's why I was silent. I was waiting for him to talk.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I just thought it was beautiful. I mean, yeah, there's nothing else to add to it. I mean, it's just Kevin De Bruyne brilliance within 10 minutes. Godma now, we try to ride this out. I thought, T, as you broke that down, I couldn't help but think about a particular player for us that decided to not be so protective and careful with the ball. And, you know, what happened happened. But I think Krunk's going to go ahead and give us that next little bit breakdown here soon.
Yeah, about Grealish being subbed off. I mean, it's unfortunate because you heard about him storming off about not making the lineup a couple of weeks ago. Pep's walk with him during the Super Cup, at the end of the Super Cup, hugging and walking with him, giving him a little chat ever since the treble celebrations and the media turn against him. Really, it seems like he's kind of struggled ever since then. Pep even came out and had to admit Grealish is off, but he's trying. And I just really hope that this injury isn't too serious. I know statistics, there's not really a big drop off between Grealish and Doku, but it's in the energy of what Grealish brings. I feel like we're able to do a lot more with less with Grealish, because Grealish gives KDB more chance to shine because he earns those fouls, which gives us chances for free kicks and set pieces and all that stuff. Where Doku, in theory, should be giving chances for Alvarez and Haaland to be doing their thing. But if Haaland and Alvarez are struggling, aren't hitting to heights, then Doku doesn't look as good. And that really... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, because that's basically how I feel about the entire Chelsea match, was especially the way that people were coming at Doku. Doku is fucking... All the fucking fighting that I was doing for Sterling, it's just like, now it's all coming back up, and it's just like, now I feel like I'm doing it all over again for Doku. Leave him alone. He's the only one trying. Again, we're on Copenhagen. Yeah. And then this goal that Ederson... While we're talking about Grealish going down, that's unfortunate. Then Ederson, my boy Ederson, the ball was sent back to him after Copenhagen had a decent run of possession, actually. You see Ederson, his face, his eyes, they're pointing to Ake. His body, the position, however, is pointing to Diaz. And he goes to pass, and you're like, oh, no. And he just passes it right to a Copenhagen player. They shoot, it's blocked. And then Magnus Madsen, who was signed by Copenhagen 10 days before that match, 10 days, turning him into an instant star. Ederson, he makes these mistakes before, and I don't want to say often, but he makes them. But rarely are they turned into a goal. Something bad comes from it. It's just a really stressful moment. Nine times out of 10, I feel like he makes that pass to Ake easily. This wasn't that time. How are we feeling about this goal that we gave up? Is it kind of like a, all right, whatever, we gave him one, because it was really just a great strike. It was him taking advantage of the moment. But Tom?
My thought on, like, when I was rewatching the match, I was like, it seemed like they were growing into the match. Like, that goal was coming for them even, like, prior to that. So I was a little bit, like, I didn't get to watch the match live necessarily, work. But rewatching it, I was like, I could see where, if I didn't already know the final result, like, where I could say, like, oh, this is going to be a turning point in the match sort of thing. So that kind of bothered me a little bit. And it was kind of, I guess, you know, since we're bringing up football coaches, to bring up Nick Saban, like, the process wasn't necessarily there, even though in this match as a whole wasn't necessarily there that I wanted to see. The result was, but the process wasn't. And I think that that was a manifestation of the process not being there.
Not everybody talk at once.
I'm disgusted by the play, to be honest with you. We talk about the two-leg plan. We talk about how the process is for these two legs and how Pep goes about it, right? Don't get your ass beat away. Handle it. Be okay with the draw if need be. And at home, we handle business. And for us to have a one-goal advantage off of the brilliance of a Kevin De Bruyne early in a match, you specifically don't want to not lose it, not shoot yourself in the foot. And for Ederson to do that, Kronk, you put it perfectly. Body looking towards Diaz, physically looking or eyeing Ake. Where does the ball go? In between them to a fucking Copenhagen player. Shit that we don't need. Shit that there's no reason to. And that's going to be a little bit of a theme a little bit with Ederson and some of the things that we go on to another game that I think we're going to be talking about. Because there were moments where I just thought to myself, because of your one-sided left foot. And another thing that we brag about too, right, with Ederson, and I know I'm about to go, it sounds like I'm going in on him right now, but to be completely clear, it's a positive thing, and it's great that he has the ability to make these passes, but it's only great if you're not going to be the one-sided version that you are. Get out of a scenario if you're so dominantly left-footed. I don't want to talk Nick Chelsea and Nicholas Jackson, but that exact scenario happened, and because he's so left-footed dominant, he couldn't get out of it. And that's a dumb situation to be in. Move. Don't put yourself in the situation. Get rid of it. Whatever you have to do. But it was a horrible pass, and it led to a situation. We made him a star. How many days was he on that damn club? 10 days? 10 days? Now, a worldie, yes, great, outside the box, nice curler, I get it, but it's not existent if we don't give him that opportunity. So you're absolutely right. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating. I was really pissed off by the goal.
I didn't take it that tough because I just, again, it was a mistake, and yes, and maybe because I was working like Tom, maybe that's why I didn't take it as I don't say painfully or whatever, but I didn't get as emotional about it. You hate to see it. And if it, you don't want it to lead to something more, right? Don't let this be the thing that gives them momentum. Don't let this be the thing that lets them have belief. And so when you see those kinds of things, it's like, okay, we don't want to give them that. But we had the lead coming into this, so we had a little bit of a cushion to play with. And I was confident that if we don't give them goals, chances are they're not going to get any more, and we're going to go get another one or two. So it was frustrating just because I feel like, and I've said this a couple years ago, we just had to be able to keep clean sheets. It's about concentration. It's about, not letting your standards drop just because maybe the game is won, or we believe it to be won. Can't just you know, let.
Are you giving me Charlie's clean sheets don't matter?
No, I'm not giving that at all. Because I do think they matter from a mentality standpoint. I mean, at the end of the day, whether we give up a goal or not doesn't really matter, but it matters from a mentality. And we have to know that in a close game, we can keep a 1-0 because that may be what it is against an Arsenal or a Liverpool or whatever, right?
Yep.
And we have to be able to keep them off the scoreboard. And the only way to do that is to keep that clean sheet, to keep our, like I said, keep our levels high and not give them stuff. In the past, you know, we talk about, you know, Liverpool and whatever else, how we've not been great there or all these different places. And a lot of times it's because we played well enough to win games or whatever, and we give up something silly. So in this case, I didn't feel like the competition was good enough to really hurt us long term, but that's giving you an out because of who you're playing. Another team, that could have been deadly, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, and I think we have to be better. It was just in this match, I didn't think it really was a big deal.
I felt that. Okay, well. Bernardo Silva saves us at the end of extra time. City matriculating the ball up the pitch. Sent right to KDB, who takes on a defender, loses the duel, but in trying to win the ball back, gives a perfect pass to Bernardo, who just does a little like wax on action and flicks the ball over the keeper. For some reason, KDB isn't given an assist for that. I think that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just Bernardo. The goals, when he scores a goal, he scores a fucking goal. I love that man. And it's one of those things. I know he talks about him leaving, but this was like one of the summers, maybe because of the treble. I didn't really hear much about his yearning to leave. Maybe it's the fact that he saw that Barca's broke and Real Madrid is spending all their money on Los Negros and he is not melanated enough for what Real is trying to do right now. So he's just accepted his life in Manchester. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, PSG.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. PSG. But the weather's not much better at PSG, is it? I mean, it gets hot there.
It's Paris, yeah. I will say, like, in real time, like, I was worried, like, oh, like, they scored a goal. They tied us in the 33rd minute. And then when I saw that Bernardo scored and then I saw the timestamp on it, I was like, oh, we're definitely going to win. It doesn't matter, like, if we don't score any more goals, we're definitely going to win this match just because of when we scored it. Then when I saw the highlight of the goal that was scored, I was like, oh, we are certain, like, and I know I've said this on the show before, like, there are certain goals that are scored that, like, just take the will of another team. And I think that that was one of those goals that just kind of took the will out of FC Copenhagen in that moment. So
it made them dirty, if I'm being completely honest.
Specifically, I think from that point on, it really got really...
chippy,
like you said. Yeah, chippy's a good word. Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of how they played at all,
or how the ref handled it.
Oh god,
it almost felt like the whole tie was over, and so they're just, you know, we're not gonna win, so now we're just gonna beat you up because we can. And it's like, no, you really should be trying to keep it as tight as you can. Don't do something stupid, get a yellow, a red card or anything like that. So,
13 fouls, 2 yellows.
And like, those were crazy. Yes, they were very hard fouls.
On Bernardo, on my beautiful Bernardo, about broke his leg in the second half.
Man. Ugh. And Foden's goal before we end this match, beautiful team goal, honestly. Mm. The ball just bouncing around, flowing like wine. Oh, man. Nunes, with a really good run, which I was low-key hoping he was going to get the start in this match, because this is the exact type of team that, you know, he'd do great right next to Rodri. We saw a moment of brilliance. Maybe we'll see it against Brentford. I don't know. Yeah. But what do we think about this final goal before we get out of here?
I'm still stuck on Phil's new goal celebration. I don't know if I love it. And maybe it's just like I have some sensitivities because, like, I'm an American and, like, I live in a city where there was just a mass shooting.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right, he's playing like, games.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah, right. So,
I get the nickname sniper or whatever, and I understand it in that setting, but, you know, again, I'm not the biggest fan of it either. And I was going to say exactly what you said, Tom. I could see why you wouldn't, you know, especially right now, it would be especially sensitive, right, knowing everything that has happened in Kansas City, in your city. It's not just, and this is the crazy part, it's not just Kansas City. It's all around the country.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. So being an American, I'm not a fan. Now, what I will also say is I remember when Sterling had the tattoo on his leg, and he got crucified for that. And he told the story about how, you know, that came to be and what it represented. I just think it's something that you can't play with right now. It's not a joke, right? And no knock to Phil. I just don't think it's in the best taste, and I wish he would move away from it personally.
What I will say is Daphne, one of the things she hated on Phil was she called him a plant. She said he's a plant. He's England's plant. And that's why he can get away with doing that gun celebration, because he's a plant. He's basically a corporation guy. He's an English darling. And I mean, and he kind of is, though. Like,
but
I
wouldn't, mean, like, wouldn't,
I know, how? I know, but he wears him all the time because, oh, it's about... No.
What's his name? What's
all
about soccer? What's the white rapper around here?
Post Malone.
What's his name? With the curly hair, he did the remake of White Man Can't Jack Harlow. He kind of gives me Jack Harlow vibes.
How is he going to be a play? Like, Gareth Southgate is still starting Saka over him, like, yeah, international. Like, do you, like, I like, how could he be an industry plant if they are starting an actual black man over him? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Well, because they're both plants.
I don't have enough capacity for that one, because you got it.
I'm sorry.
There was a collective
We went to the conversation that we went to, and I had to just like throw a little chaos grenade in it, you know, just like pivot. My bad.
I'm a fan of it.
They're all plants. Why do you think they've all been playing since they've been kids, huh? Make it make sense. It doesn't. I mean, the match was what it was. We have a couple of weeks to even worry about the second leg. Let's keep it moving to the Premier League match against Chelsea. Starting 11, Ederson, Walker, Akanji, Diaz, Ake, Rodri, Foden, KDB, Alvarez, Doku, and Haaland up top during the watch-along. I was worried when I saw how the formation was being put on One Football. It was basically just Rodri all alone in the midfield. Normally, he has a player, has like a pressure valve to lay the ball off to. Bernardo, Nunes, Kova, anybody really. In this case, would it have been KDB? Would it have been Phil Alvarez to drop down and help him when he's swarmed by the opposition? It turns out that was actually a key problem when I was watching the match during it, which we'll discuss momentarily. But for now, we'll kind of stick with our thoughts on the lineup. Lando, I remember you were nervous, and that was basically just your sentiment about it, was just Lemon Booty. Everyone after who joined the watch along, I remember in your own way, you guys just were with me without hearing my thoughts, but you just were like, our midfield, it scares me. What were your thoughts on the lineup? We'll start with you, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was the concern about the midfield. It was, I don't see, like you said, I don't see a Nunez. I don't see Bernardo. Who is going to be in that spot next to Rodri? And so that was my concern. I was advocating, I think, during the watch along before we got started, maybe we should pull Alvarez off and bring in another midfielder. Obviously that didn't happen, but yeah, that was my biggest, really my only concern about the lineup was just, I feel like we're light in midfield and, you know, it is what it is. So, I don't know. What about you guys?
My thought, and I know I said this on the pre-match show, is like, this is like, oh, like, I don't respect Chelsea's midfield. I don't respect Conor Gallagher enough to hurt me. Like, I don't respect Enzo and Caicedo enough for them to hurt me going forward. Rodri can handle Gallagher. We just about to go, like, hang four on their heads. Like, that's what I thought. Coming into the match, and that's what the lineup said to me was like, yeah, we just have a distinct lack of respect for Conor Gallagher, Moises Caicedo, and Enzo as a midfield, as a record label, as a motherfucking crew. Like, we just we didn't really care.
And I don't think you're out of pocket at all, because that is what it said to me, especially with, if you're going to leave Rodri all alone, that says, okay, you are not worried about what they may do to make Rodri's life hell. You think he can get out of that? Lando, quick thoughts before we...
Well, it's not that... Yeah, I think we all had the insecurities of the lack of midfield, right? But I think we ended up seeing that it was Kanji. And that bringing up to that midfield position that we were, I think, initially comfortable with, that now looking back in hindsight, yeah, not so much. Not so much. The pseudo center back midfield did not work against Chelsea. And the lack of respect that we had for him going into the game. I'm talking about, remember, I'm nervous. And also, just for the record, if we play them again for a third game, don't fucking hit me up at all. Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing for this game.
I didn't work.
You get it. I don't know what to do. I got a shit of result while working through it, making calls, being on Zoom chats, doing the whole nine yards, seeing Ruben Diaz disaster class first half of the season. I come back and said, nope, not doing it. Taking a half day, earned. I have anxiety. I'm going to get some indica in me, get with the boys. We're going to get right. What happened? I'm done. Don't hit me up for Chelsea moving forward.
It was good to know. And honestly, you know, self-care. I don't even really, I mean, obviously there's just one goal, so there's no need to be like, let's go through the goals. the biggest battle really in this entire match was Malo Gusto versus Jeremy Doku. In battle of just young black braided motherfuckers. It was great. It was fun to watch, honestly, them going at it. A lot of people were trying to say that, a lot of people were like, which I'm one of those people, all right, they brought one, two, maybe even three people around Doku to stop him from doing his thing. and someone tried to do this comp of just showing that it was one-on-ones with Mallow. Yes, it was one person, but a second and third defender was like 3 yards away and 5 yards away. Sure, the Mallow isn't stopped, is just one-on-one, but if he goes left and beats Mallow, there's another defender. If he goes right and beats Mallow, there's another defender right there. You have to take all that stuff in as a defender. I know people have lack of ball knowledge, and it's just mostly because people are maybe this is why I feel like athletes are like, I don't want to listen to the people who have never played sport before, because it's one of those, because you really have to be in a sport where you have to make a quick decision in a moment, and you're fucked if you do or fucked if you don't. Because in your brain, if you've never had to make those types of decisions, you're just like, yeah, just make the right decision. Just make it. And they're just like, no, bro, sometimes you make the wrong decision and it happens. I don't know. It's just, I took a break after this match on social media for a reason. I really still haven't even been consistently back. I've just hopped on, made our posts, and kept it moving, because just people have bummed me out overall in this match. And I honestly have no idea even really where I want to go at in this match. So.
But it's not just a match, Krunk. You're specifically bothered by the Doku conversation. It's clear that you're triggered by the we were on Copenhagen and you let us know that you were triggered about the Doku conversation. So it's clear that it's the Doku. What is it about the problem? You say damn if you do, damn if you don't. I get it, but we wouldn't be saying this if he hit a goal or had an assist. Both supporters of both clubs right now can have a great conversation about both players, that position not doing well.
Yes.
Malo Gusto, it seems that City fans are really having a conversation about, and I am seeing it, you are valid. Doku wasn't enough, not creating, just get rid of it. Stop doing the dancing.
Look at his statement on the stream.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's what I was say. There were nobody was making the runs, and I do think it was actually. Hold on, let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Blame game for sure. And blame game. Erling Haaland, the fuck, my boy.
I think that's
what was part of my reasoning for the Copenhagen analysis, and when I said that the process wasn't great, like he had some chances in the Copenhagen match that he also scuffed and also did not put away that he should have put away. For your center forward to have 9 total shots and the first one on target is in the 90th minute. Yikes.
And did you see it?
Yes, that part. That part. Like it wasn't even a great shot on target. So I think that if we are going to blame anyone for like not necessarily like doing anything in the final third to like impact the scoreline, yeah, it's got to be more Haaland than Doku. I mean, I think that like Doku Gusto just kind of gave me more New Jack City vibes, and I was just hoping that Wesley Snipes was going to win, but obviously that didn't happen. But
my brother's keeper,
right? Exactly. So that was a fun I would have to say, like, even as a neutral, that was just a fun matchup to observe. Like, if I would not have had any skin in this match. But as I do, it was frustrating to see Gusto play so well, and knowing that he was playing so well when Doku was getting by him and to the byline, either there was no one there, the passes that he made were there, but no one finished them, or the final pass was a little behind and a little bit lacking. So like there are three possible outcomes. Two of them are not like his fault necessarily. Like, there's four possible outcomes. Two of them are not his fault. And the third one is within his control. And the fourth one, like, did not happen, like, which was a goal going into the back of the net off of like him assisting. Now, there were some times where he did break loose of Gusteau, like specifically in the first half, like did break loose of Gusteau and then took a shot way too early. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating.
And there were times where he danced too much because nobody was moving and he was stagnant, and then he moved it on a backwards pass. But Kronk is absolutely right with the criticism wouldn't be on Doku if Haaland finished his shot. Within 10 minutes, Doku had a beautiful cross into Haaland. And if Haaland, and I remember distinctively on the stream, the chat was, it's raining. Yeah, he got the head on early. He got up there a little bit higher. And I immediately was just like, nah, he's got to finish that shit. I'm calling him Earl Ha until he starts finishing. I'll finish his name when he starts finishing shots. So he's Earl Ha until we move forward. Okay?
Sir.
Earl Ha.
Sir.
That's where I'm at with it. Doku's getting wrong criticism today. And also, I am the same person. If I'm going to go that way on Haaland, I'm also the same person on the stream. Remember, Doku, quit dancing. Come on, move some. So in fair criticism, I do deserve to be called out for that. But he's big Earl Ha to me.
I got an Uncle Earl, so that I'm okay with that.
Big Unk.
So let me say this. I did not think about this in the moment when we were watching the stream. I think we were all disappointed in Haaland, disappointed in his lack of finishing. And the frustration was palpable. It was obvious. You could see all over his face. You could see he was frustrated. I think there were times where people were like, yo, you got to put that away, dude, you know, whatever. Right. Cause you expect him to finish especially some of them, they were like, okay, that's got to go in the back of the net. But what I did not remember, cause I had heard it before, was that he had just lost his grandmother. Right.
Yes.
And yeah. So he lost his grandmother in the match or during the match, I think, against Everton on that weekend. Then we played Copenhagen and then we had this one, right? So this was effectively a week later from his grandmother passing. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't have put it away, right? Physically, he's been back long enough that physically he should be at 100%. But I could understand how he could not be mentally at 100%. I could also understand how you want to go out there and I want to play for her, right? I want to get a goal for her. So you're pressing and not pressing the other team, but you're trying to do more than maybe you should. You're just going to look. So I could understand how that would happen. I still expect him to put those shots away, but I don't, you know, and they didn't go in, right? So I think there is some degree of criticism that is there. I need to give space for that man's mental health. But I also expect that in these next coming games, I need to see him be better, right? You can't have a repeat of that again. And I think it's, you know, I saw somebody say, oh, well, he's not been great this year. Dude, we're judging this man against himself. What we saw him do last year was completely insane. And I think we thought or we felt like this is just normal. It's always going to be like this. And that takes away the fact that that dude is what he was doing was insane. And it's hard to just keep playing at that level consistently. I think he will. I think he'll get back there. I think he'll end up being the leading scorer. He's still the leading scorer in the league. He'll end up being probably winning the Golden Boot again this year. And it won't look the same way that it looked last year unless he really heats up. But he's still one of, if not the best number nine in the world. And I just need him to, you know, he will show it again in future matches. This was just not his best match. And I think it's fair to say anybody should be able to say that. And it just wasn't, this wasn't a great match for him. I think if you ask him, he'd probably say the same thing. At least looking at that, you know, the look on his face when he walked off the pitch. So I think he
definitely the camera away.
Yeah. I think there is a degree of criticism that he deserves. But I also think there is some understanding and some allowance for just the mental aspect that he needs as well.
Yes. Of course.
Now, are we going to pivot from Holland for a second? Because if we are, I want to bring up Kyle Walker.
Please do.
So
let's talk about it.
So there's a lot that I could say. I'm not even going to go to the goal and how I feel like that's his fault. I've said that enough in these last couple matches that I'm not even going to waste my time there.
There's nothing else to be said there. And it's his fault.
Yeah. But, dude, it is embarrassing to see that man react the way he did when he didn't get his call. Should he have got it? Maybe. But the whole flipping around, if that was Bruno, we would all crucify that dude. When he waves his hand and he's going crazy, he's crying on the pitch, we kill Bruno. But this dude is over here like turning flips. Really? Who does that?
Obviously a very strong core. That's not easy to do. It's not easy.
I mean,
that was embarrassing. And as a City fan, I hated to see that because I want to rip that dude the same way I would have ripped Bruno.
And I think to your point, Tarek, it's even more embarrassing from the standpoint, like, that is the club captain. Like, so
that's
like,
my point.
Like,
it would have been bad enough no matter who it was, but you're correct. The captain. You got the armband.
He's too emotional right now. He needs to be taken in a little seat.
And again, I will say there's something to be said for mental health. And I know he's had his issues, but at some point, and that's been a little bit further, goes back a little bit farther, right? You've known this was coming. You kind of brought this on yourself.
Self-inflicted. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, this is something that you brought on yourself. So I think you need to, he's got to get it together and figure it out. But the other piece that irritates me, and I feel like it's, I don't know if it's frustration or whatever, is the constant shots from deep. One out of 10 of them will be on frame. And it's like, oh, well, he put it on frame. Well, yeah, but what about all the other five that he didn't? Six, seven that he didn't? It's like, dude, Vincent Kompany scored a worldie that effectively won us a title that year, right? But that's not something that Vincent Kompany was trying to do every match either. As a matter of fact, when he got ready to wind up to shoot it, everybody was like, no.
No, don't shoot.
He put it in. And we've seen, you know, I don't know. I don't understand why he thinks that because he's got the armband on, he can shoot whenever he wants to. And it's just irritating. It's really irritating. And I hate that I'm getting on him because, again, I want to just be all happy, happy, joy, joy. Everything is wonderful. You know, just give him all props. Never say anything negative. But, dude, you're bringing this on yourself. And it wouldn't be fair to just sit back and say, oh, well, because he's on City that anything he does is okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. And if I don't understand why Pep or somebody else doesn't just, you know, again, I understand he's the captain. Somebody else needs to pull him aside and be like, dude, you got to get your head right. Or go sit down. Tough love. You've been a coach, Lando. You don't just let players just go out there and self-destruct in the, you know, in the middle of a game. Come sit down. You're too emotional. You're costing us. Come sit down.
I think the more difficult part, to your point, is that if you're putting me in the coach's position, I have to look myself in the mirror because a part of this is my fault.
Yeah, because you picked him, and I'm with him. You. Yeah,
I took him to a fucking sushi restaurant and sat down with him and created this. So a part of me right now, while you're right, someone else has to sit down with him. It can't be me. You understand? It can't be me. And typically, if I'm getting just presenting the scenario, I have been the guy in previous scenarios that whoever the person is, I do the sit down and I do
right, because the other, yeah,
right. So now I'm presenting to you the fucking problem that is what we have, which is who's the fucking person? Because it ain't Pep. So who's going to be the guy? Because at this point, we are all in a consensus here. A sit down convo needs to be had.
Yeah. Rodri.
I'd like
Diaz,
that.
Diaz. KDB. If you're gonna be on the leadership council.
Yeah, cheeky. Spot on.
Cheeky. I don't know. Is he even the dude who takes? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It might have to be someone big.
Yeah, that's why.
Like,
yeah.
Can a peer even say anything to him with history and what he's done and all that other stuff? Like it or not, yeah. Like Tom Bond.
If we allowed ourselves to be handcuffed and held hostage by this dude in the summer, then that's a failure on our part and of our leadership. There's no way we should be allowing him to just do whatever he wants because, oh, well, we didn't want him to leave, so we just give him whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. And again, I know we wanted him to stay. And I feel like because of that, you know, we've, to your point, Lando, we've kind of built the entire, our whole offensive, our whole structure is built around him and allowing him to get forward and maybe doing things that he's good at, as opposed to how we played before with Stones in that right back position and then stepping into midfield, or even Rico Lewis in that right back position, stepping into midfield. We changed it so he would be okay. So he'd stop crying. And I'm I want him to do well because he wears city blue. But I'm frustrated that we are allowing ourselves to be in this position. Mm-hmm.
All valid.
Yeah. I mean, anything honestly else other than this match
that we are really got to cover? The Rodri Darius Miles moment. I'll be damned if we're not going to go there, cuzzo. Come on. That's a moment. That's a
I like his passion, but
he saved us the point, boys.
Yes,
he saved us the point. Come on.
Yes.
And that was the most important part. And like, and to me, I think that is why, like, especially with the topic of conversation that we just had over the last 5 minutes, like, that's why he needs to be the one wearing the captain's armband. And like, it would be nice in a moment of humility that Kyle Walker would be like going to Pep and like, hey, Pep, like, there's too much going on for me right now. Like, I'm a detriment to the team right now. I'm a detriment to the team as
a season saving experience. If you were to have that self-reflection in the mirror, Tom, do you realize what you're proposing? Yes. That would be a season saving experience to be that humble to do something like that.
I said that, and I'm a part of a city group chat. I've mentioned a few times, and I said that in the group chat and I got fucking killed.
Nah, that's
what,
huge.
You said what?
That specifically Walker, I actually said he should have preemptively known and said, hey, I can't take top captaincy. I just got in, I don't know what he has to say, but when they made that vote, because he knew he had been experiencing all that drama while the captaincy had happened and while Pep was smoozing him and trying to talk him into staying. But it obviously in the moment from the messages and stuff like that, the women said that he was trying to keep it quiet. So maybe in his brain, he thought that he'd be able to keep it all quiet. But I also, it's just like, maybe don't make the block hot. Like, if you got your own business going on, maybe just be like, hey, I love being a captaincy, but we got some really great players who might want to be first or second or something like that. And I was like, maybe he should step down. I didn't say all that extra stuff, but I was like, hey, maybe he should have just been more aware to just step down, not take the top captaincy. You can take a captaincy, but maybe don't take the top captaincy.
So the way, as I understand it, it's voted on by the players.
Yes.
Supposedly, right? So if the players voted for you to be there, I think it would be hard to say, well, no. It would require a sacrifice. It would require and sacrifice meaning, you know, the attention or the applause or, you know, the recognition that he's the captain or whatever, right? You're giving that up. So you're sacrificing that. But it would be great, but I don't know that I expect that or even would expect that from most players, because it's just not something you would do. If you've played sports at any given point in time that have that opportunity to be a leader on your team, you're not going to give that up. But again, Pep should have known better. Others should have known better. And again, I don't want to kill him. Because again, he is, and to be fair, because you said it would be, I think Lando said it would be a season saving or a season changing, something like that, right? For as bad as we feel right now, or especially the way that we felt coming out of that match, watching it and just, we're still right there in the midst of this sprint to the end to try to win this title, right? It's not like we're out of it by any stretch of the imagination. If we go, we handle our business, we're right there, but 1 point behind, right? I think the other part of it, again, because again, we had what, 10? Well, we had like a big run of wins, and we had like 15 unbeaten or something like that. We are doing well, even if I don't feel good about it. And if it feels or it looks slightly different than it did last year, we're still doing well. We're still right there in the midst of, in the thick of things. And I think we'll stay there. I don't know. I don't want to get, and this is me, I'm trying to tell myself not to get, you know, too caught up in a single moment and recognize the season as a whole. And I think overall, even though I would say we haven't been on our best, we're still right there. And if we ever get to our best, then we've run away with it. And so I just think there's still plenty of time. The season's not over. The title's not gone. None of those things. There's still plenty of time. It's just, we got to, you know, each match one by one, we got to take them, we got to win them, handle our business. And we got a couple big ones that are going to come up, the proverbial six pointers that we've got to take care of. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, I mean, anything else? I mean, did we properly touch the goal for you, Lando? I know you want to give your buddy Rando. Are your buddy Rando, your buddy Rodri, and Rando. The celebration?
I don't do that to Lando's married. Like don't do that to him. Don't put Lando and Rando together. Especially after talking about Kyle Walker, he don't need that. He don't need them problems.
I don't need that.
He really don't need them problems.
You know what I wouldn't do? I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. Go to the local newspaper and do a tell all about it. And sit down and have a conversation midway through the season.
Talk about
you know what I wouldn't do? I tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't show up to the April 20th live event in Chicago that we're going to have. Shades of Blue, get at us. Come RSVP for the tickets. I wouldn't announce something in a publication moments before going live on that stream that day. That's what I wouldn't do. I'm just saying.
I mean, but if you want to bring the big booty bitches, you can do that.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What?
Hold on.
Listen, I'm a humbly married man. I was going to say, with you guys,
Lando.
Doesn't mean you don't know big booty bitches.
Lando and I aren't bringing anybody. We're not bringing anybody.
Respectively.
No, you know, respect. See,
they
this
can
is
show up.
You're I'm the reason why you Kyle, you're the reason why Kyle nothing. Walker got in trouble. Yeah. You're the reason why Kyle Walker got in trouble. They yeah. was like, "Hey, man, see, bring somebody with you." And he was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna bring my wife. I'm gonna bring somebody else." And then you all went downhill from there. See, you gotta stop listening to Crunk, man.
No, see, me and T are the ones trying to chill out and just maybe watch some film, watch some ball, just chop it up, do X's and O's, talk about philosophies and shit. You're the one over here wanting to bring a strip pole over to the over.
See,
to
now
the
I gotta
room.
Explain to my wife why I gotta go on April 20th, and there might, you know, people might show up because she's gonna be like, "Wait, why are they showing up?" Because Crunk asked for him to come.
Damn, Crunk. Yeah, Crunk. Trevor, bro.
And people twerking. That's a great combination. I'm just saying. My bad. Jeez. We're figuring
all
stuff
I know,
out now. That's
all
what,
I know
good.
Is
good.
That whatever damage control that I need to talk to Mrs. Peterson and Mrs. Martinez about, let me handle that. Let me handle that. Like, don't let Crunk be the one you're talking about.
Don't listen to Crunk.
Hey, it's all jokes. It's just podcasting. It's just words. I'm just saying things. I'm just joking.
April 20th is going to be lit.
I do have...
But not that lit, though.
T really covered yeah, right now, sure that,
making sure we good, bro. Those other dudes ain't got to worry about nothing. Hey,
yo, that's a seasoned married man, bro. That's a veteran in the game, dog. That's a veteran in the game. You need that, bro. You need that love. You need that.
I'm a big fan of Bad Boys, all of them, and I'm ignoring
classics.
That. And there's a scene on the first one. I think Martin turns to Will. Don't break up a happy home. That's what I'm saying to you, man. Don't break up no happy home.
Damn it, Crunk.
Oh, my bad. I'll back off. I say that too often. I feel like my bad. I'll back off. So I have Pep post Chelsea, who's asked about Haaland and his inconsistencies.
That's good. We just had 9 shots, and next game is going to score. So, listen, I was a football player. I played 11 years and scored 11 goals. What the stats, eh? 1 goal a season. These are my stats. So I'm not the proper man to give advices about the striker, what they had to do. So we create the chances. He had the chances. Not necessary to say next game is going to score.
Pep, such a politician at his old age.
That like, coach talks serious with that man.
Pep, yeah. At the beginning of his time here in Manchester, would have ripped Erling Haaland open. Now I'm sure he's going to do it behind the scenes. Out, like, just in front of people. He's just like, no, we're good. But I'm sure when they're watching this play over and over again, I'm sure he has all the misses queued up, synced back-to-back-to-back with some song behind it, because Pep is very much a dramatic like that. There is that story of him playing, what was it? Man, was it a City match? It was either a City match or a Barca match where he brought this like compilation of all the matches of all the games of the season, and it had this great music behind it, and Pep thought it was gonna like inspire him, but it had like upset everybody. It made them just be like, wow, we've really been through a lot. We're look at us, we're a team, I love you guys. And they were all like sad and did the complete opposite of what Pep wanted. And he had to kind of like scramble and be like, guys, get pumped up. Sometimes that happens. And, you know, you just he thinks he's hidden and you think you're hidden and it comes out and it's just not everybody's on the same wavelength. I feel it. I feel him. I love it. You got to protect your striker though, especially if he's mentally not there. You can't dunk on him. So I get it.
Abuelas matter. Grandmas matter.
Yes. And like Pep said earlier that I played, everybody has moms and dads. So everybody wants to play well. Everyone deserves to play well.
Mamas and papas.
Mamas and papas. Quickly, we'll just end with the preview and score prediction. We don't have to do shock all and vermilion applause. Manchester welcomes Brentford, who, side note, if you didn't see, Klopp snitched on Tony, blew up his whole spot. The two had a conversation after Liverpool's 4-1 win after Brentford. Klopp said in the post-match presser, and I quote, "It was more like smiling at him. He's a handful and really tricky." I used a different word, but it's really tricky to play against him, obviously. Am I right that he's a Liverpool supporter? He's not shy to say that. Then I can admit it as well. We spoke a little bit about that, and he wished me good luck for my time after these things here. A lot of players said it. It was a nice conversation. Yo. Brentford, you know, they had their bounce back, sort of, since Ivan Toney's return. It doesn't really matter how tough Brentford can make the first 20 minutes of the match if they can't really keep that intensity for the full 90. How do you see this match going? That's a little vague. Let's do this. Which player from Manchester City will have a big match and why? I can go first to give my esteemed panel time to think. Phil Foden is my choice. He has had multiple matches on the right to get accustomed to his new role. Like it or not, he is playing on the right for the foreseeable future. He needs to figure out how to bring the efficiency and teeth of the attack that he had centrally to the right side of the pitch. We know Pep is not sitting Alvarez really to give Foden the spot he deserves yet. I do think next season we could see Foden more centrally.
Why yeah. Next season? What's going to change?
And more time to prove to him that he deserves it. You know, Pep believes in these like steps. And I just think
particular signing at the right wing position
that also an actual right winger, it might force him to have these real talks with Alvarez. I don't know. I just, you can only ignore something like that and how obviously Foden is better centrally for so long. When he's so talented and you have other talented players, you can do that. But if you actually find a right winger, just like, okay, well, now if I have to pick between Alvarez and Foden, I love Alvarez. We're both Spanish-speaking or, you know, we speak similar languages or whatever, and I would like to bring him up. But, you know, there's not so much you can do. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Ginger King having a goal and two assists. Just orchestrating the show. seems to be in a good run of form. Even in the last match, notwithstanding, I feel like him having to drop back so far for the ball was probably part of the problem. You could once Bernardo came on the pitch in the last match, he was a different player. So that's why I'm thinking that Pep is going to adjust to that accordingly. And I got KDB being the, to use the Cam Newton terminology, the game changer of this particular match.
Matthias Nunes. Kronk has had some great insight on him. And a little frustration to him not seeing him over the weekend. And I agree with Kronk. Matthias Nunes is going to have his landmark game against Brentford. Obviously, it's a game in hand, rescheduled makeup game midweek. So we're happy about getting this in. And Matthias Nunes has a perfect opportunity to kind of show why he's going to be important for us for the rest of the season. He's been choppy. His first touch has been a little bit suspect sometimes, but he's also had some great moments with dimes to Julian Alvarez, assists in the Champions League. I've been very happy with what I've seen overall, but I need that landmark, impactful moment, and I need it now. Give it to me, Matthias. Tarek wants to go, hey, yo, so bad. Look at him. He's like, I'm not going to do the butt. You know what? Let me just speak.
I was going to say something, but I'm not. I'm not. I refuse. No. So what I would say is this. I'm with Krunk. I'm always a big Phil fan. I don't think he's at his best when he's on the right, because he's not really all the way on the right in space, because he's inside on that right a little bit, because we're leaving space for Walker to bomb forward. If he was fully out on the right in space, maybe that's one thing. But it's just like, it's still in tight spaces and it's not, I just don't like it, but I like Phil. I'm always going to rock with Phil. So let's go.
Score predictions?
3-1. I got 3-1. I got 3-1 in both matches.
Mm. Okay.
I'm going to go 3-2 because Tony's a handful.
That was going to be my thoughts, 3-2.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Okay.
It makes your heart nervous a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Hopefully Charlie is, when I talk to him tomorrow, he's a little more pessimistic about it. Because mm-hmm. if he says it's going to be a close game, then maybe I might start stressing out. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth, Cherries, they sit 13th and badly need a win. And Andoni Areola has taken over the reins from Gary O'Neill, had the new manager bounce, which, you know, was nice, but there's always a fall. Gravity and such. Winless in their last 4, 3 draws and a loss. At least the club is at home taking on City. Any chance for the upset at Vitality Stadium? Lando, what you think?
Nah, we're pushing. Smash those Cherries. Simple.
Bruh. Bruh.
Smash those.
Bruh.
Can I say something?
What? We're just going to pass. The bus drove by. We're just like, nope, I'll take the next one. Nope.
Hello?
I was playing.
Hey, man. What? Don't play like that, okay? That's my family, man. Don't break up a happy home.
All right, start wearing my clothes.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you out, Lando. You keep making it hard.
I got 3-1 on the South Coast. Bournemouth won't really have anything for us, but our defense is not equipped to actually perform a clean sheet. So, yeah.
No, we're going to get it. 3-0.
I was waiting for it. Kronk? Kronk? Do we got a clean sheet? Against Bournemouth? Yes or no, Kronk?
No, it's on the road. We're not doing it. It's not happening. Like, I'm so sad. The only people, like, if this is City Women, I'm like, hell yeah, we're keeping a clean sheet.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Our thing. Yeah. That's their thing.
It's but Bournemouth, man. Men. We're keeping a clean sheet against Bournemouth. This 3-0.
Two 1. It's going to be close.
It's going to be
we're
close.
We're giving away a ball. I would prefer 2-0, but I don't know. Just something about this club. They haven't been playing well enough for me to see multiple goals from them. I can't even joke about 6. I miss being able to hit that 6 soundbite, but it's just they're not doing it right now. And then Joe gets hurt on our baby blue baddie side, and it's just, there goes those 6 goals. Man, I just want to ambush of goals. I just want us to bang. I would love to, like Lena said, and be smashing Cherries. Just like, bang, 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 bang. You know? But can't always be like that. Shout out to amazing week of Shades of Blue shows for you. Links to all our shows are in our description. Tap that link tree. It has all of our show offerings and our Shades of Blue official support club, our Patreon, Shady Gang. If you've ever thought, I enjoy Shades of Blue so much, I was wondering how I can help. Only Shades, you know, that's still in concept form, but Patreon, we got you. We're here for you. Here's your chance. $6 a month. Yeah, that's a couple of tacos. That's a drink at a local coffee shop, or a drink at a brewery. It's like 1.5 cocktails at a good spot. So it's one of those things.
Cappuccino Pochettino.
Cappuccino Pochettino. Pochettino Cappuccino, which, like I said, is just a vanilla cappuccino because, you know, right. he's not that crazy. That money, it goes to just a general fund. It helps us pay distro fees and all that other stuff. All that stuff is below. Follow social media accounts, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, all those things. Episode details, it's there for you. If you're watching on YouTube, thumbs up, baby. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, any of those things. 5 stars, rating, share that you're listening. Let people know. Share the vibes. Lando, Tarek, Tom Bomb, we'll start with you. Please let listeners know where they can find you.
Before I do that, I want to send a shout out to La Selección Cuscatleca for pulling out a huge result in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup in the qualifiers. So that means that they will advance into the group stages over Haiti. Big shout out to them. That was a fun match. Brenda Seren with a hat trick. Love it. Love to see exciting players do fun things. If there is a social media platform that I participate on, you can find me at TomBomb816.
At Lando Martini, LandoMartine on Twitter. Holla at me. Comment. Follow. I'll follow back. I talk about Knicks. I talk about Yankees. I talk about Giants. But mainly I talk about the wonderful things that we try to do on Shades of Blue. T, what you got?
Twitter at Tarek Peterson. TarikPeterson. If we talk about what I'm talking about, it's a whole lot of nothing, or it's about sports. Oftentimes it's my kids or their teams or teammates. So, yeah. But big shout out to Bayern Munich in their summer signing Harry Kane, who suffered their third straight loss in all competitions, losing to a team called Bochum. lost 3-2, and as a result, they fall a total of 8 points behind Bayer Leverkusen with 12 matches left to play. Kudos to Harry Kane and his no trophy winning self.
Damn! Why'd you gotta roast him like that?
Because he's not wrong. That's why.
I'm just saying, if he can't win a trophy at Bayern Munich, I don't think he may never get none, man. You got to win it. Bayern Munich, that's like going to PSG and not winning. But anyway, Crunk, you getting us out of here.
No, I love it. Find us on Instagram and Threads, Shades of Blue US. You can find us on Twitter or X at Shades of Blue Pod. TikTok, we are Shades of Blue Pod. You know the vibes. Shady Gang, Shady Gang, Shady Gang.